Ukraine's president has accepted the prime minister's resignation following weeks of deadly clashes between government forces and pro-Western protesters. The government says there are foreign hands behind the violence, while the European Union and the United States deny any involvement. So is this a grassroots movement or a foreign-backed plot? I'm Homa Lesgi, and you're watching The Debate.
Following weeks of unrest in the capital, Kiev, lawmakers overwhelmingly voted in favor of scrapping the new law they voted for earlier in January. Earlier in the day, Mykola Azarov tendered his resignation, which was later accepted by the president in a bid to help with finding a peaceful resolution to end 2 months of protests. But the pro-EU opposition has called the move nothing more than a face-saving measure. Boxer-turned-politician Vitali Klitschko has called the resignation a step toward victory, saying the opposition will continue with its struggle.
The positive thing is that they have revoked those shameful laws that were voted for with hands instead of electronic cards against constitution. This has never happened before in the history of Ukrainian parliament since 1991.
President Yanukovych and opposition leaders met on Sunday to find a way out of the current political crisis. Despite government efforts to end the political standoff, the opposition has so far refused to heed the president's call to stop integration into the Eurobloc. In their first round of talks, the president had even offered the opposition top posts, including premiership, which they turned down. Ukraine has been the scene of mass protests that have in some cases turned deadly since the president ditched a trade pact with the EU. Viktor Yanukovych rejected the deal, arguing that the country cannot afford to sacrifice trade with Russia for closer ties with the European bloc. Since then, several EU and U.S. officials have traveled to Ukraine for talks with opposition leaders and speaking to demonstrators. Washington has even gone beyond that by threatening to place sanctions on the country in response to security measures taken against protesters. As tensions continue to run high in Ukraine, some analysts have warned that the premier's resignation alone is unable to settle the crisis. They believe that overcoming the political deadlock requires compromises on both sides, and warn that a truce alone could lead to a new crisis.
You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from Moscow is Mr. Dmitry Babich with the Voice of Russia radio station, and with us live from London is Mr. Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus. I'll put my first question to our guest in Moscow. Mr. Babich, the first concrete concessions by Yanukovych since the crisis erupted 2 months ago. This is how a lot of people are seeing the resignation now of the government. Would you agree with that description?
No, I think it's just the last one in a long chain of compromises that Yanukovych suggested. Actually, even his decision not to sign the association agreement with the EU in November, he insisted that he was not canceling this agreement. He said that he was just postponing it. He said he would sign it later if it was rewarded and if the EU was ready to provide financial assistance to Ukraine. The problem was that the EU did not accept this compromise. The EU said that it should be signed in the form it had been prepared. And when Yanukovych suggested trilateral talks between the EU, Ukraine and Russia to sort out the differences, the EU insisted that it should be a bilateral affair. So this was the first compromise. The second compromise was just several days ago when Yanukovych suggested the position of the prime minister to Arseniy Yatsenyuk, one of the nationalist opposition's leaders. And this offer was also declined. So I'm afraid now it's the third compromise, and we see that it only whets the opposition's appetite. But I'm afraid it's a very dangerous game, yes, because the opposition is making the same mistake that Hitler made more than 60 years ago. Hitler, by the way, was supported by the Ukrainian nationalists during the Second World War. The problem with Hitler was that he didn't, yes, let the fruits of his victories ripen. He just pushed ahead and ahead until he lost the war. I'm afraid the opposition is going to make the same mistake.
Well, let's put this question to Mr. Ian Williams as well. Mr. Williams, I guess they were saying that with the amount of concessions we're seeing the government give to the opposition, why is the opposition still refusing to, you know, at least say yes to some of the requests that have been made? Opposition leaders shying away from the offer of a top government post. And there is a lot of speculation. They're saying that this could be a trap, etc. How far do you think the government can go? And do you think the opposition is right in refusing to accept these requests that are being made?
Well, it's not really for me to judge whether they're right or not, but quite clearly, just from that train of events, you can see that one of the problems here is the president has far too much power. The president decides that the country is not going to honor the EU agreement. The president decides that he would rather go with Moscow.
Right.
The president decides who the prime minister is going to be. The president tells parliament to pass a law banning demonstrations, and then a few weeks later tells the same parliament to unban the law, to reverse the law. So that's the picture that's coming here, and this is not really about pro-EU or pro-Russia. That's just the colourings that are taken, and I gather there are now protests in the eastern part of the country, the Russian-speaking heartland of the government, in a sense. And once again, this is about democracy. It's about who is running the country. And the general consensus is that the president is authoritarian by nature. His rule is authoritarian, and that has to be tempered. So the question for the opposition is whether accepting the prime ministership will in any way give them hands-on real power, or simply associate themselves with whatever decisions the president makes. And that's their judgment call to make. They're on the ground, and I don't think the events of the last few weeks will have reassured them of his democratic intent. Sadly, however, you know, some compromise should take place. The simplest one was that he puts himself up for re-election again, since there is clearly a crisis of confidence. His parliament has just voted down the legislation he introduced. And even if he wanted them to, in a sense, it's a vote of no confidence in most of the Western systems.
Well, before I put this issue and the points you raised there to our guest in Moscow, I'd like to give our viewers a chance to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
European countries and the US have been behind most of the world crisis. Nobody is blind these days, and you could tell very well the Western powers are involved. They will bring democracy just like the ones the Western powers brought in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya, and soon they will bring to Africa. Russia and the US are both the same. Why only West is the evil? Russia is the worst Eastern power bloc pulling the strings from the other side. Press TV will always do what Al Jazeera does, biased media.
Some of the comments posted on our Facebook page, they'll go right to our guest in Moscow. Mr. Babich, a lot of comments, of course, on our page today about the role of foreign governments, both Russia being discussed and Western governments, the EU, the United States. What's your position on foreign intervention in the current situation in Ukraine?
Well, first I would like to say that the situation is pretty complicated. I would say more complicated than Ian just described it. I'm afraid I would say that it's sort of more nuanced. Because on the one hand, yes, it looks like the Party of Regions is under the president's control, and the Party of Regions won the parliamentary elections. Western countries and even the Ukrainian opposition did not dispute the fact that the Party of Regions won more seats than nationalists from Western Ukraine during the last parliamentary election, which took place just about a year ago. On the other hand, I'm sure that in a country like France or even Britain, the people who hurl Molotov cocktail at police, the people who attack the president's office and who took by storm several ministries, like, for example, the Justice Ministry just yesterday, these people would be in jail in the UK, they would be in jail in France, they would be in jail in Germany without any additional legislation, because you see how violently they behave. As for the foreign powers, I can tell you that, yes,